One painful lesson I experienced as a young boy was simply how much time one dad had available to spend with me versus the other. As the success and prominence of both dads grew, it was obvious that one dad had less and less time to spend with his wife and four children. My real dad was always on the road, at meetings, or dashing off to the airport for more meetings. The more successful he got, the fewer dinners we had together as a family. Weekends he spent at home in his crowded little office, buried under paperwork. My rich dad, on the other hand, had more and more free time as his success grew. One of the reasons I learned so much about money, finance, business, and life was simply because my rich dad had more and more free time for his children and me. Although both dads made more and more money as they became successful, my real dad, the educated one, also got further into debt. So he'd work harder and suddenly find himself in a higher income tax bracket. His banker and accountant would then tell him to buy a bigger house for the so-called tax break. My dad would follow the advice and buy a bigger house, and soon he was working harder than ever so he could make more money to pay for the new house, taking him even further away from his family. My rich dad was different. He made more and more money but paid less in taxes. He too had bankers and accountants, but he was not getting the same advice my highly educated dad was getting. Yet the driving force that would not allow me to stay on the left side of the quadrant was what happened to my highly educated but poor dad at the peak of his career. In the early 1970s, I was already out of college and in Pensacola, Florida, going through pilot training for the Marine Corps, on my way to Vietnam. My educated dad was now the superintendent of education for the state of Hawaii and a member of the governor's staff. One evening, my dad phoned me in my room on base. "Son," he said, "I'm going to resign from my job and run for lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii for the Republican Party." I gulped and then said, "You're going to run for office against your boss?" "That's right," he replied. "Why?" I asked. "Republicans do not have a chance in Hawaii. The Democratic Party and the labor unions are too strong." "I know, son. I also know that we do not have a prayer of winning. Judge Samuel King will be the candidate for governor, and I will be his running mate." "Why?" I asked again. "Why run against your boss if you know you're going to lose?" "Because my conscience won't let me do anything else. The games these politicians are playing disturb me." "Are you saying they're corrupt?" I asked. "I don't want to say that," said my real dad. He was an honest and moral man who rarely spoke badly about anyone. He was always a diplomat. Yet I could tell from his voice that he was angry and upset when he said, "I'll just say that my conscience bothers me when I see what goes on behind the scenes. I could not live with myself if I turned a blind eye and did nothing. My job and paycheck are not as important as my conscience." After a long silence, I realized that my dad's mind was made up. "Good luck," I said quietly. "I'm proud of you for your courage, and I'm proud to be your son." My dad and the Republican ticket were crushed, as expected. The re-elected governor sent the word out that my dad was never to get a job again with the government for the state of Hawaii, and he never did. At the age of 54, my dad went looking for a job, and I was on my way to Vietnam. At middle age, my dad went from jobs with big titles and low pay to more jobs with big titles and low pay. He was a tall, brilliant, and dynamic man who was no longer welcome in the only world he knew. He tried starting several small businesses and even bought a famous franchise, but they all failed. As he grew older and his strength slipped away, so did his drive to start over again. His lack of will became even more pronounced after each business failure. He was a successful E employee, trying to survive as an S, self-employed, a quadrant in which he had no training or experience and for which he had no heart. He loved the world of public education, but he could not find a way to get back in. He died frustrated and a little angry, yet he died with a clear conscience. So what kept me going in the darkest of hours? It was the haunting memory of my educated dad sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring, trying to succeed in the world of business, a world he knew nothing about. That, and the joyous memory of seeing my rich dad grow happier and more successful as his years went on, inspired me. Instead of declining at age 54, rich dad blossomed. His years of methodically building businesses and investing were paying off, and he was on his way to becoming one of the richest men in the islands. The cash flow quadrant is more than two lines and some letters. If you look below the surface, you will find completely different worlds as well as different ways of looking at the world. As a person who has looked at the world from both the left side of the quadrant and the right side, I can honestly say the world looks much different depending on which side you are on. One day over lunch, I talked to my rich dad about my educated dad. "Your father and I are not the same people at the core," said Rich Dad. "While we are both human beings, we both have fears, doubts, beliefs, strengths, and weaknesses. We respond or handle those core similarities differently. How we respond to those differences is what causes us to remain in one quadrant or another. When your dad tried to cross over from the E, employee quadrant, intellectually he could understand the process, but he couldn't handle it emotionally. When things did not go smoothly and he began to lose money, he did not know what to do to solve the problems. So he went back to the quadrant he felt most comfortable in. The E and sometimes S quadrant," I said. Rich Dad nodded his head. "When the fear of losing money and failing becomes too painful inside, a fear we both have, he chooses to seek security, and I choose to seek freedom. Even though we're all human beings, when it comes to money and the emotions attached to money, we all respond differently. And it's how we respond to those emotions that often determines which quadrant we choose to generate our income from. Different quadrants, different people," I said. "That's right," said Rich Dad. "And if you're going to be successful in any quadrant, you need to know more than just technical skills. You also need to know the core differences that cause people to seek different quadrants. Know that, and life will be much easier."